Blog Talk Radio.
All right, this is Talking on the Wall. This is Elder Jesus calling you Watchman on the Wall, Watchman on the Wall, Watchman on the Wall, End Time Ministry. End Time Ministry Network, Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're here to talk about the good news. And the good news is that Jesus Christ died and rose again, and he's coming back after a church without a spot or wrinkle. That's good news. Good news is only can come from heaven. Anything that's not of heaven is bad news, and that's what we're hearing now on the planet. Bad news. You don't hear nothing good hardly anymore in this generation that we're living in. The only good news I got is Jesus Christ, our Lord, buried in the grave, got up on the third day morning. So glad to have Brother Tim with me this evening. We're on fire for the Lord. We're in the kitchen, amen, cooking up the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Every stove eye is on and the water is boiling. We want to let you know we're on fire for God because we know that the time is drawing near. Jesus Christ is coming back again to get a church without a spot or a wrinkle. And he's nearer than we think he is. A lot of people think we got a lot of time left, but the time is winding down. Every day, every minute, every second, every year. We enter into the second day of 2022. Amen. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. Everything that's happening today is in the Bible. Everything. Hey, God didn't leave nothing out. He put it in there so plain that a wayfaring fool should err therein. He made it so plain that a baby could understand. He made it so plain He made it so plain that teenagers can understand. He made it so plain that the old folks can understand. What Jesus Christ did, he did it to save our souls. He did it to save our souls because you only got one. Amen. You ain't going to get no other one. If you missed this trip, if you missed the salvation once delivered it to the saints, you died without this salvation that Christ died on Calvary's cross and got up from the grave on the third day morning, and you don't accept him, and if you die without him, hell will be your home. I know it sounds kind of rash. I know it sounds kind of tough, but let me tell you, amen, the right way is the tight way, amen. The wrong way is a loose way, and that's what people are doing today. They're living. They have no concern about God. They have no concern about their soul. They have no concern about their family. They have no concern about the house of God. They have no concern about what the preacher's preaching. Why? Because nowadays preachers can preach anything and everybody be jumping up and shouting. Well, I'm not going to preach anything. I'm going to preach the word of God. That's it for pit. If you don't like it, amen. And I'm talking about demons. I'm talking about the demons because I know demons don't like the gospel. The devil don't like the gospel. He hates the gospel because he knows the gospel is the only way that a man can be saved. You can preach any other thing and people jump on it like a bandwagon. But when you come to Jesus Christ, you have to come to him and repenting of your sins and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to have prayer right now, and Brother Tim going to back me up. When I have prayer, Brother Tim going to come on in. Amen. And he going to say Happy New Year to you all out there that's listening. And I'm going to say Happy New Year to all the old out there that's listening, because we love you. Don't we love you? We love you so much. We don't know how to express, amen, this great salvation that we're going to deliver to you, that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Heavenly Father, we ask you right now in the name of Jesus that we come this afternoon, the second day in the new year, 2022, we ask you right now to bless this ministry, bless Brother Tim, bless his family. Lord, bless my family. Bless, Lord, whatever we have to say through your word, Lord, let it be dynamite. Let it split the gates of hell open. Let it open up the insight that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Let the world know that you love them so much. You love the world so much that you did what you wanted to do. You did because you loved us. And by your love, oh, man, we can be drawn into you. We ask you to bless Brother Tim right now. Give him the strength. Give him the motivation. Give him the zeal. Amen. Give him the power. Amen. To break this word down that we can rightly divide the word of truth in Jesus' wonderful, immaculate name. Let the church say amen. Brother Tim, go ahead and roll with it.
Amen. Dr. God bless you. Amen. Good to be here. Amen. With the saints. Amen. And as well as those that have not yet received salvation. We are praying for your salvation, amen, because we want you to be saved. We don't want no man or woman to be lost, amen. We love each and every one of you, amen. We know that the world is a little tough for some, but amen, if you can hang in there and stick with
come
you,
on
valid,
now. Come
amen,
on.
Because we are preaching the word in love, amen. We're not, and here's the thing, people are less sensitive now than what they were. And, well, that depends.
Yeah.
I'll take that back, brother. Amen. That depends. Amen. Some places and some cases, people are more sensitive now than they were back then. So, amen. But you should be able to handle this word, amen, because we're not preaching fire and brimstone without love. We're letting you know that
come
we love
now.
You.
Come on now.
This is why we don't want you to be lost. Amen. It's just no reason to lose your soul. Amen. The devil don't have nothing to offer you. Amen. If you think, amen, brother, he don't. I look at how people are just dying left and right. And you know what? It's funny that you said that, doctor, because you want to know why? They're talking about how this abuse thing has getting out of hand. And I've noticed that in this generation, the men are just abusing women like nothing. And I just can't understand. And I know where it's from, doctor. I know what it's from. Is lack of having a father, male, a real man in the household. A lot of these young boys, they don't have their dads in their lives. A lot of these young girls, they don't have a father figure or dad in their lives. And so they're just allowing these boys to use them as a punching bag. And the Bible talks about how man would get weaker and weaker and wiser, and that's weak of a man to put his hand on the weaker vessel, which is the woman. I just can't understand it. My dad's always taught his son, you don't ever hit a woman. You don't put your hand on a woman. And this is what my grandmother said. Me and my wife were just talking about this. This is what my grandmother said. She told me and my wife, when we first got together, she said, you keep your hands to yourself and you keep your hands to yourself. So basically what she's saying is to resolve it all, if everybody just keep their hands to themselves, everything will be fine. And if you live by that, you won't ever have a problem. Amen. At least not in that area. Because I'm a huge believer that I don't think nobody should be hitting on one another. Amen. So
I just want
to say that, man, we need to pray for people out in this world, especially in 2022, because they're expecting it to get worse. Amen. Because they expect more job losses or people not working. We just going to be praying for the world. We don't want that. We want people to get saved. We want people to get delivered, so we won't have to deal with that. We believe the King is coming soon. Amen. We're not trying to say that we know the day or the hour. Amen. But Paul told us to watch. Christ told us to watch. What are we watching for? If he told us to watch, that means we should have some idea that we are getting close to the return of our Lord and Savior. Amen. So, amen. With that being said, we're going to go ahead and get into the Bible prophets. Amen.
All right, God.
And we're going to deal with some prophecy. Amen. And so, amen, who were these individuals that gave prophecy? So a Bible prophet was a man or a woman in the Bible to whom the will of God was revealed under what? Inspiration. Let's just say divine inspiration, amen, meaning that it came from God. And all of that, it might be in turn be communicated to the people. Let's say that again. It was the will of God revealed under inspiration in order that it might be in turn be communicated to the people. This is what we're doing now. We are communicating God's word to you. This is what they did in the ancient time. Amen. So
yes, sir.
Here's the thing. Amen. You have to watch some people. Amen. Cause we know there's a lot of false prophets out there. Amen. We're gonna get into some explanation so you'll know what to look for. So you won't be fooled by a lot of the false prophets there, because that's what's happened. That's what's wrong with the world now. So many people are following these false prophets. As the brother said, you got folks just talking about anything. Amen. And people just following by the thousand. Amen. Just misinterpreting the word, turning up the Bible, folks just following. And amen. So you want to make sure that you're following someone who's lined up with Scripture. Amen. So the contents of Bible prophecy were specific. Amen. They were detailed and complemented each other. Amen. Means that they make sense. And that's the same thing with Scripture. When we interpret Scripture, we always go around the Bible showing you different Scriptures to support Scripture. Because what do they say? The best way to interpret the Bible is by what? By Scripture, by using the Bible. The Bible is its best teacher, best interpreter. Okay? Amen. So if the Scripture complements us, because a lot of people say, the Bible contradicts itself. No. The Bible don't contradict itself. You're just misinterpreting the Bible. You're not using the rightly divided word. Okay? So watch this. In contrast to the self-proclaimed prophets of the day, Bible prophets did not peddle vague generalized predictions. So going to talk about a little bit foretelling and foretelling. Let me see if I can remember this. It's been a long time, brother, since I've covered this. Amen. I remember when I was in seminary school, amen, we had a subject on this, foretell and foretell. Amen. So foretelling is the declaration of future events as revealed from the Lord. Amen. Now, I'm a stop right there because I want this to be, I'm going to try to make this simple as possible for you. I'm going to say it again. Foretelling. So there's a different one. So foretelling is spelled F-O-R-E-T-E-L-L-I-N-G. That's called foretelling, okay? This is the declaration of future events as revealed from the Lord, pertaining especially to the kingdom of God. So you can say that the book of Revelation is what? Foretelling, because it's what?
Yeah.
It's about future events revealed from the God, because how do we know it's revealed from God? Because Christ himself, what did he do? Revelation 1, what did John say? He said, I was in the spirit on the Lord's day. Amen.
Yes,
so I just want to kind of clarify that. Then I believe the brother got some scripture. So let me just explain to you what foretelling is. And we're going to come back and get some more into this. But I'm going to let the brother, I know he got some scripture you want me to read. So I just want you to know what we're looking at. So foretelling, which is spelled F-O-R-telling, T-E-L-L-I-N-G, okay, is the utter forth declare a thing which can only be known by divine revelation. Okay?
Yeah.
Amen. To interpret the purposes of God of heaven. Amen. So let me tell you what, I'm going to show this real quick. I'm going to let the brother read the scripture. That in ancient times, back in 1,000 years ago, how did they know that a prophet was true? How did they know he was real?
Right.
It was simple. If he told you something, it came to pass.
That's how
they knew that it was real, because if he declared something, and the people said, this man must be a man from God. Why? Because he told us something and it came to pass. How did they know he was Paul's prophet? Amen. Because he said something. And it didn't come to pass. Amen. You ever been to church when they slap that oil on your forehead and turn you around three times and tell you to run in the same spot? Amen. And they tell you you're going to become a millionaire in a year, and you're going to do this and do that, and you're going to have this and have that. And you just wait for it, man. You excited. You tell everybody, your family, your friends, your coworkers about this great thing, this great prophecy you received. And then the time passed. And it don't happen. Amen. Now we know the scripture says despise not prophesying, because amen, you know, we don't want to turn down the prophesying, but you do have to also discern a false prophet from the real. Amen. So with that being said, we're gonna come back and get into some more stuff that I got. But go ahead, brother, and read your scripture.
Okay,
amen.
Hey, brother,
what you got for
you? You laid the line down. Only God can know the future. Only God know the future.
Amen.
We got to realize the devil can know a little bit about the future because he know where he's headed. God already told him where he's going to be headed. And he already told him what he was going to do. He was going to try to distract man from God. In other words, he's trying to turn man away from God. And by that, Satan brings lies in. And so anytime a man make a prophecy or prophesy something and it don't come true, well, he's a liar. He's a false prophet, because the only true prophet, is Jesus Christ, because he was a prophet, priest, and king. And what Jesus Christ prophesied is coming true, is already true, and yet in the future's few. The prophets in the Old Testament made great prophecy. I mean astronomical prophecy. And we're going to get into that and show you what Ezekiel, Daniel, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all those men made prophetic utterance for the past, present, and future, and everything that they said came true, and yet
more
is yet true. So when you want to find out what the newspaper trying to tell you what's going to happen tomorrow, read your Bible, and then they'll tell you what's going to happen 30, 40, 50 years from now. Why? Because God knows the future. He can direct the future. He can orchestrate the future because he's a future God. He's a God that never, he never had a beginning, never had an end. He's the first and the last. He's self-existent. He don't need nobody to tell him what to do, how to do it, when to do it, because he's God all by himself. And in the word of God, we know that there was prophecies made all the way back from the Garden of Eden. And we're gonna read some things from the Garden of Eden that God prophesied that would happen to mankind in the latter years, in the latter generations, in the latter millennium. And we're gonna read it from the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. It may sound like childish, but that's the book for me. Hey, and I am a child of God. Hey, I ain't grown up yet. I ain't so grown that I can what to do, how to do it. I'm just a little old child. I'm just a little old, the little old tiny individual that love God and God love me. So right now we're going to get into Bible prophecies from Genesis, and we won't cover it all the way to Revelation, but we're going to be going into Revelation. All right. And we know that in the book of Genesis, we know the fall of man. We know man fell from God. Man, disobeyed God. Adam and Eve disobeyed God. And when they disobeyed God, they were disconnected with God. In other words, they lost connection because they were deceived and they disobeyed God, what God told them not to do. He said, don't do it. Hey, Adam, don't do it. Eve, don't do it. Now, he prophesied and told them, if you do it, the day you eat thereof, you are going to die.
Amen.
Not a physical death, but a spiritual death.
Amen.
Spiritual death needs to be cut off from God. You are on your own. If you are spiritually dead, you are on your own. And since you're on your own, you got a choice to choose to be with God and get right with God. You had a choice. Man got a choice.
That's
and
right.
God told, he told us in the scripture, if you don't obey me, you're going to suffer greatly. You're going to fall under the judgment. So Adam and Eve disobeyed God. When they disobeyed God, and God knew what they were going to do, but they had a choice. And by that choice, they disobeyed God, and it was what? Cast out of the garden. They were done.
That's right.
They could not get back in the garden. And the only way they could get back into the garden and get back into paradise and get back into the relationship with Jesus Christ, God had to do it. God had to do it. Man could not come to God on his own. No.
That's right.
You come to God, you're going to have to want God, and God's going to have to open up your heart and let you see who you are, what you are, and where you're going to be headed if you don't choose him. So what we got? We got Satan in the garden. He caused Adam and Eve to disobey. Adam and Eve were cast out. Satan had charge of the human race. In other words, the world belonged to Satan. Satan said, I got it now. And what you talking about, preacher? You mean God ain't powerful enough to stop Satan? Yes, he is. But God had to let Satan pick his regular routine, you know, because if God would have destroyed Satan at the beginning, there would have been a big question mark in the universe, in eternity. The question mark would be, why did God destroy Satan? Why did he? It must have, God must have did something. He tried to hide it. God said, I ain't going to let it hide. I'm going to prove to you that Satan is a phony. Before he became a phony, he was named Lucifer. Now he's named Satan, the dragon, Beelzebub, and he's a liar. And I'm going to prove to humanity, I'm going to prove to the whole angels that it was totally the fault and the blame falls on Lucifer. And what happened?
Amen.
He came on earth. He deceived Adam and Eve. And from deceiving Adam and Eve, Adam and Eve listened to Lucifer, and they became sinners. Oh, listen to what I'm saying. They became sinners. Sinners are people who don't know God. You hear what I said?
What?
A sinner is
Amen.
Not necessary. A sinner is a person that don't know God and walking in the image of Lucifer and walking in the image of Satan and doing the works of Satan, and the work of Satan is abominable against God. So when Adam and Eve sinned, they became the first sinners, and they sinned against God when God told
right.
them not to eat, not to touch it, and they disobeyed. So when they disobeyed, they were cast out of the Garden of Eden. And then God brought in a Sunday school. Sunday school started then. Oh, Luke, you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about the first Sunday school was in the Garden of Eden. And I'm going to prove it to you out of the Word of God. And we will find out in the third chapter of Genesis, Brother Tim, get the third chapter of Genesis.
Okay, amen.
Get the third chapter of Genesis. I want you to read the 13th and the 14th verse.
Amen. Third chapter of Genesis,
verses 13 and 14.
All right, this is what it says. Verse 13 says, "And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat.
All right,
and the Lord God
right
said
there.
Unto
right there,
Amen.
Right there. Certain, Eve blamed it on the serpent.
Amen.
She blamed the serpent for what? Telling her to eat the fruit and lie? She's blaming
mm-hmm.
it on the serpent. And the serpent only could do what he could do, and that was cause confusion, cause sin to come into the world, cause destruction. That's the only thing he could do. So she listened to the serpent.
That's right.
And said, he tricked me. He tricked me. He tricked me. No, God, you didn't listen to what God said, because God told you not to eat thereof and don't touch it. No circumstances. No compromises. Don't touch it. And she ate it. And now she want to blame it on the serpent. Read, brother.
Amen. Verse 14 says, "And the Lord said unto the serpent, Because
right.
thou hast done this,
yeah,
thou art cursed,
yeah,
above all cattle and
yeah.
above every beast of the field. Upon
yeah.
thy belly shalt
yeah.
thou go, and thus
yeah.
shalt thou eat all the days of thy life."
Listen, this is God telling Lucifer, telling Beelzebub, you are cursed above all cattle. You are cursed beneath the earth. You are cursed
Amen.
Forever. Why? Because you have caused Adam and Eve by deceitful and lying. You caused them to be cut off from me. You caused them to become your father. And the
Amen.
People who are in the world today that don't know Jesus Christ, let me tell you who your father is. Your father is the devil. Your father is Satan. Why? Because you are under his spell, and his spell is sin. And God cursed the devil, cursed Satan, cursed Lucifer.
That's
and
right.
he said, you're going to eat on your belly, you shall go, and dust. What you talking about, dust? How can the devil eat dust? Oh, let me tell you what the dust is. What's man made out of? Man is made out of the dust of the earth. What does Satan use, amen, to cause you to become sinful? He uses the flesh. The flesh is made out of the dust. And to tell me the devil can eat your flesh up. Oh, God, how can he eat my flesh? He eats it up with sin. In other words, he eats it up with alcohol. He eats it up with drugs. He eats it up with every foul thing that can cause you to be sick and die. So the devil actually can eat your flesh by disobeying God. and become a depraved individual. And our human race now is depraved. It's some sick people on the planet. And they're sick because the devil is eating their flesh and eating their dust. And the devil is crawling up on his belly because he can't stand upright. He's a low-down, dirty dog. And let me tell you, he is dogging anybody. Amen. Anybody that rejects Jesus Christ, the devil will dog. He'll dog you right into the grave. And there's people dying today. Young folks, old folks, pretty folks, black folks are dying today because the devil is eating their flesh up. And he's eating it up flesh by lust and desirable and pleasure and all kinds of stuff that can eat your flesh up to nothing. You become a vegetarian. You become a paraplegic. You become all. He's eating up everything he can. So what? The devil is a cursed cherubim that's in his lower state. Now, here's the first great prophecy. 15th verse, brother. First great prophecy that will be announced from here to eternity. Read it.
Where we at?
The 15th verse.
Oh, verses. Okay, same chapter. All right. Amen. It says, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between
all right.
thy
oh,
seed.
I want you to be on.
Amen.
You. He said, I'm going to put enmity between your seed and the woman's seed.
Mm-hmm.
What God saying? He said, I'm going to put an enmity between the seed of Satan and the woman's seed. Read.
Come on now. Amen. And then it said, and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed.
Yes.
It shall bruise thy head, and thou
yes.
shalt bruise his heel.
Woo! What is the prophecy on this? What is the prophecy on? It's on the enemy of Satan and the enemy of man and her seed and Satan's seed. Satan got a seed down here. He got a wicked seed. And the wicked seed comes from the sons of God marrying the daughters of men, and they begot Nephilims. Nephilim, that's Satan's seed. And that seed became demons. When the Nephilim would die, that spirit in the Nephilim was half angelic and have human that produce demons. Demons exist today. Demons are in the air. Demons can possess your soul. Demons can cause you to do evil and diabolical and for all your life if you don't turn from the wickedness of the demons. And if we say that these demons can possess anything that's alive, can possess a dog, a cat. It can possess a human being. It can have plenty of demons inside of one man, and that one man can become a strong Superman. Why? Because demons are strong, and if they possess you, you can become a strong individual that nobody can handle you. If you don't believe it, read your Bible. Jesus saw a man filled with legions, 6,000, 3,000 to 6,000 demons in one man, and nobody could hold him down. And these demons exist today. They're in the air. They're in people's mind. They're in people's heart. They can get in your family. They can get in your anything that moves and have anything that a life. They can possess these things. And when they possess some things, what do? Ask the swine. The swine received the demon, and they jumped over a cliff of 2,000 swine because the pigs didn't want the demons in them because they are malignant. They are sick. They are abomination. What you think demons come from? Demons. What you think cause child pornography? What you think cause brutality in the home? What you think cause murder and people running down the street, tearing up the place? What you think cause all kinds of foolishness in the house of God? Demons. And these demons is an enemy to God. And this is the seed of Satan. Satan produced demons. And we got wicked angels that fell from heaven. And when they fell from heaven, these watchers on Mount Hermon, amen, cohabitated with the human race, and they produce a foul, sick race. So sick that God said, I'm sick of it. I've got to destroy the world by water this time, and he only found 8 souls out of billions of souls that were born from the time of Noah until the flood. And when that flood came, they tell me only 8 people were saved during that time. Why? Because they tell me these were rotten, stinking, low-down, foul spirits that the devil had produced and brought forth through the watchers and through having fornication and cohabitation with the human race. Now listen to what it says. And it says, between thy seed and her seed, the seed of man, that's man's seed, because man's seed, amen, is different from the seed of Satan. Amen. Man's seed belongs to God. God is the one that brought semen and not invented a woman, but have a woman to bring forth a child. That's used semen, and that's of a woman and of a man. That would be the more righteous seed. But the seed of Satan was the wicked seed, and they're mixing in. They're trying to mix in with the human race, because we're going a little further about this. But we find out today that the world today is covered with all kind of wickedness, old stuff that will make your hair curl, things that will make you run and what things are going on underneath some of these houses and in the White House and all these secret societies. You ought to see what people are doing. They're having sex with their own relative. They're having sex with their own mother. They have sex with their own brothers and sisters. They have all kinds of oral sex. They call it all kinds of group sex. They have all kind of filthiness and worshiping false gods and doing wicked things that the devil can only proclaim. Only the devil can do that, because God's righteousness exalts above all righteousness of Satan. Listen to what it said. He said, and it, now this seed of him, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. He's telling Lucifer, this imminent seed, this seed that's unique, this seed that's immaculate, this seed that's of God, this seed that's all powerful, this seed is eternal, and that is the seed of God, God himself. What did he do? God became man. It's a prophecy now. This is a prophecy now. And this is 4,000 years before the royal seed came. 4,000 years of Bible prophecy. God said, I'm going to bring forth an image between the woman's seed and Satan's seed. And guess what? He said, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. What you talking about, preacher? I'm talking about this year's seed is going to bruise Satan's, what, head. It's going to smash his head. How do you know? You got your Bible with you, brother? I want you to turn to the book of Rome, if you can find it real quick. The book of Romans, the 15th. Amen. I meant to tell you, I meant to give it to you much earlier.
Well,
the 15th chapter of Romans, the 16th chapter of Romans, the 20th verse. Amen. Okay. The 16th chapter. Oh, let me see. Of Romans.
Okay, 16th chapter.
The 20th verse, okay. Right there. Right.
16:20. All right. Amen. There we go. Finally got over that. So it says, God. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan.
And the God
Satan.
Of peace.
Shall bruise Satan under his feet shortly.
Yeah. Shortly. Go ahead.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ will be with you. Amen.
All right. Now, listen, you hear what I'm saying? I'm saying that God himself made this prophet to Satan and gave him a picture of what the end is going to be like for him. But yet still Satan will bruise the Lord's heel. The Lord's heel. What you mean? That means that he's going to be slain on a tree. That means that he's going to be crucified, hung, buried, died. And on the third day, he was good up out the grave. He was telling Satan, I'm going to send a ruler. I'm going to send a king. I'm going to send the God of gods and the Lord of lords. In other words, God was telling Satan himself, I'm going to bring salvation. I'm going to bring salvation to the human race. And I'm going to do it in the period of 4,000 years. Well, what happened in 4,000 years? Anything happened in 4,000 years? All right, let's go to John 3:16, brother. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. John 3:16.
Amen. There you go. John, the third chapter, verse 16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life.
Come on. Now, wait a minute. Did that happen? Yes, it happened.
Right.
And 4,000 years after God himself made a prophecy that he was going to send his son. He didn't say his son, but he said imminent. Only enemy that God has on this planet is Satan. Satan is the enemy of God. God hates Satan, hates God, but God said, I'm not going to let you ruin my creation. I'm not going to let you damn my whole family. I'm going to send a son that's going to be enemy against you. He's going to defeat you. He's going to wipe you out. He's going to smash your head. You're going to bruise his heel. You are going to be the cause of his crucifixion. And by that, you thought, Satan thought by killing and slaying Jesus and hanging him on the cross to the human race that he could win the victory and take over the planet completely. But Jesus Christ wasn't no ordinary man. He was God in man. Came down through 42 generations, and he made a prophecy of it. He made a strong prophecy. That was the longest prophecy, amen, that had to be fulfilled. And it was fulfilled around 33 A.D. when Christ came down here and died on Calvary's cross. Now, you know something. If that been fulfilled, good God Almighty, if he done died and rose again, and I know he died. Mm-hmm. I know he got I know he was a savior. I know he was God in the flesh. I know he's the Almighty. Why? Because that same Jesus that died on Calvary's cross lives in my heart through the Holy Spirit. I know that this prophecy was on time. Good God Almighty, it was on time, and it will always be on time. Why? Because prophecy is being fulfilled today. Now, this one prophecy covers all the other prophecies that God made through the prophets. Why? Because God is true in everything he did. Now, listen what happened. Listen what happened. Why are we having so much trouble today? Listen what happened. He goes to the woman, the third chapter. Just listen. I'm not going to explain these next two verses. I want the brother Tim to read it for nice and loud so you can hear and see what happened to Adam and Eve. See what caused all this killing. Read that, brother.
And am I back over in Genesis?
Yeah, 16 verse.
Genesis is, okay, 16 verse, 3 and 16. Let me go back.
All right. Genesis, right.
Amen. All right, this is what it says. It says, unto the woman, he
said. Unto the woman.
That's right. I will greatly multiply.
I'm going to multiply sorrow, brother.
Amen. And thy conception.
And thy conception. In other words, you're going to have all kinds of babies being born. You're going to have breech babies. You're going to have abortions. You're going to have all kinds of trouble in conception because you have disobeyed God. It's going to come upon you. It's going to come upon you because of your disobedience. You're going to have malat children. You're going to have children that you don't know who they are, where they are, where they come from. You're going to have children that you don't really want. You're going to have all kinds of problems in conception. And guess what? We're having it today. We're having it through the system. We're having it through marriage. We're having it through living together. We're having it through men having babies that don't even take care of. And we have women that have broken heart and crying because, look, good God Almighty, they have been tricked. Amen. They have ruined their lives. Why? Because of what Adam and Eve done, it fell on us. Read, brother.
Amen. And it says in verse 16, thy sorrow and thy conception.
Yes.
In sorrow, they shall bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
All right, God said, now because you have done this, your desire should be to your husband. A woman should desire a husband. A woman should not desire the plain man just because of what he got. A woman should desire to be with her husband, love her husband, treat her husband right, be obedient to the husband. If she got a good husband, I can understand if he ain't worth 2 cents. Amen. And he's telling you something out of state. You ain't no obedience in that. But if you're a child of God and your husband is saved and you are saved,
right,
the husband is the head of the house, not
on,
the woman. The woman is right on the side of the man. The woman ain't got no business trying to do some things that a man is doing. A man ain't got no business doing things that a woman's supposed to do. We got it all mixed up. Now we're living in an age where the women can't find a man. They can't find a man, so they say, well, I'm coming independent. I'll just have
come
a man.
On, God.
And then the Bible says, in the last days, 7 women shall take hold of 1 man. Guess what? It's been fulfilled now. Amen. To every one
Amen.
Man, there's something. That's why you got so much infidelity. That's why you got so many women on the street corners. That's how you got so many women living by themselves. And that's why you got some women are gone lesbianism, because they say we can't trust no man, because most of them is no good. The only thing they want is want to get their cookies and run to another woman and run to another woman and never be able to have the ability to settle down and raise a family. That's why you got so young folks in jail. They ain't got no type and shadow of a righteous father. They ain't got no type and shadow of a righteous mother. They're just teaching them anything. Oh, yes, they want them to be successful, but they're not teaching them the word of God. And the Bible tells me that's what's going to be. That woman should have a desire for her husband. Amen. That husband should want to be with that wife until they die. Uh-oh. But it ain't that no more. Amen. They don't even get married. Oh, my God. This is what the devil has caused. Because of the fall of man. And guess what? It's getting worse. Well, they talking about now deleting marriage. In other words, forget about marriage. Because if you do marry, you're going to have to be dedicated, committed. Because if you get married, you go through a person half life, like 20 or 30 years, and then you decide to get a divorce and you leave. You ain't done nothing. You done messed up. It said death do us part, so the young people, so the children can see a type of a unique union and a unique faith that you'll carry. And that faith is in Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. That's what my mom and daddy, they taught me, the faith in Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised when my mama and daddy took me to church. Good God Almighty. I lived in a family where if I did something wrong and my mother or my dad did, they would whoop my behind. They wouldn't play with me. Oh, but today the men and the women and my mothers and fathers ain't got no time for the children, because both of them is working and one is going here and one is going there, and the woman is out there on the street trying to make a living, but yet still she get caught up in a relationship with other men. But let me tell you, I don't mean to try to lock her up in the house and don't have nothing to do. But let me tell you, hey, man, you ought to keep on close contact with each other. Good God Almighty, because you can get her straight. And somebody can ask you, how's your husband treating you? And you can say, oh, he ain't treating me too good. Well, maybe I can treat you. But let me tell you, the grass is no greener on the other side of what you already have. And that's why you got so much mixed up. This is what happens when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. All right, brother, read 17, and we're going to get into original Bible prophecy.
All right.
17.
Amen.
All right.
And verse 17 says, and unto Adam, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake, and sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life.
Lord have mercy.
Amen.
Go ahead to the 18th verse. That'll finish it up.
18 and 19. Okay, it says, thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field.
Yes.
Amen. And verse 19 says.
19, that'll do it for that. And 19.
All right. Verse 19 says, in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Till thou return unto the ground, for out of it was thou taken. Thus thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return.
I'm gonna close it right there. That's the three great prophecies of the future, from Genesis in the garden all the way over to 2022. We're living in that generation where these prophecies have been fulfilled, and some are still in the making. Why? Because of what man did in the garden. So people want to go blame God for the condition of the world. You can't blame God for this. God is blameless. He told Adam and Eve not to eat it. He didn't go down there and tell them to eat it. He told them not to eat it. Satan told them to eat it, and it caused the fall of the centuries, the greatest fall that man has ever failed. He fell from innocent into conscious. And when he fell into conscious, he was on his own. He was cut off from God. Since he was cut off from God, God said, I'm going to bring you back. And he made these three great prophecies to let you know whatever God says is going to come to pass, it will come to pass. So quit trying to blame everything that's going wrong in the world today. Blame it on God, because God is a God of order. He's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of goodness. He's a God of everything that's right. And if it's wrong, it's not of God, because every perfect gift comes from heaven. Every low-down, dirty gift comes from earthly. Everything that's not like God comes from Satan. So now we're going to get into the prophecies of the modern 21st century. There have been prophecies made from the time of creation until this now. I'm gonna suggest this year prophecy, which is a great prophecy, and that prophecy is the prophecy that's mentioned in the book of Ezekiel at the 38th and 39th chapter of Genesis. And this prophecy is yet to be fulfilled, in the making right now. Right now. It's called God and
make God. Amen.
Check and Tubal. He said, there's a time coming in the 21st century that Russia, you hear what I said, then? I said Russia is going to attack Israel. That's yet in the future. And you know something? It ain't far away. Woo, because Putin right now is planning to invade Ukraine. And China is linking up with Russia. And Russia is linking up with Iran. And Iran is linking up with Persia. And Persia linking up with Ethiopia, and Ethiopia linking up with Libya, and Libya is getting along with all these Gentile nations that's planning to attack what? They are planning to attack the Jewish country. They're going to try to overthrow the world and take control of the world through conquering the Middle East, because the Middle East is a centerfold of Christ's return. And by that, Satan says, I've got to stop Jesus Christ from coming back down here. If I don't take over the world, then I'm going to fail. And he's been trying to take over the world for 6,000 years, and the 6,000 years is almost up. Prophecy says that this army is going to come down from the northern parts, and they're going to come down with a great bands of multitude of men. 200 million men are going to come down, and he said they're going to ride on horses, and they will have weaponry, and they're going to try to go into Jerusalem, and what? And take captive, because if they get the Middle East, they got all the oil, they got all the potash, they got all the water, they got all the vegetation. Why? Because the Middle East is the richest place on the planet that can grow just about anything. Why? Because God has blessed that land for the Jewish people to show the world that the God of Israel is a God of gods and the Lord of lords. And all other gods that we can name is no God at all. They're just entities. They're just false spirits, there are demonic demons that's trying to flat a new world order. And the new world order is in the making. And God said, go ahead, Satan, do what you got to do. But I'll tell you one thing, it ain't going to last long. And the length of time of Satan ruling the world and controlling the world is about 7 years. And the 7 years belong to the 7 year tribulation. And that 7 years belong to the Jewish people. And the Jewish people are the people that God chose to show the world there's only one true God. And there's so many names in the Bible that gives the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I tell you, Job calling the Redeemer. And they tell me Malachi, him calling the son of righteousness. And they tell me Mary called him Jesus, good God Almighty. And they tell me Isaiah calls him the Almighty God, the Counselor, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father. And they tell me Solomon called him the Rose of Sharon and Lady of the Valley. And they tell me Revelation calls him the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And they tell me, the Bible tells me that Jesus Christ is going to stop. He's going to stop. He's going to stop Russia in its tracks and the world. Good God Almighty. This is yet prophecy now. This is no lie. This is the truth. Russia is going to be defeated by God himself because America cannot defend Israel. America cannot stop Russia and China at the same time. They don't have the equipment, and it would take too long for them to get troops over there in the Middle East to stop Russia. It is impossible. So no other nation over there is for Israel. And by them not being for Israel, all Gentile nations. This is Bible prophecy now. This is Brother McGraw coming
man,
from.
Come on, doctor.
I ain't lying.
Good word.
So number one, there is no other nation that can defend any other nation from attacking Israel but God himself. And what God is going to do, he's going to cause an earthquake in the Middle East. It's coming. It's coming, sister, brother, Uncle Ed, doctor, whoever you may be. It's coming. It's coming. Because there's no other battle-fighting God that I know that can fight a battle and win every time. If you don't believe me, ask Hezekiah. If you don't believe me, ask Joshua. If you don't believe me, ask Daniel. If you don't believe me, ask the Hebrew boys. If you don't believe me, ask Israel. If you don't believe me, ask all those Old Testament patriarchs that God fought for them. And God is going to fight for Israel. And God is going to cause an earthquake so great that it's going to cause diffusion amongst the Russian army. Because Russia is getting an army ready now. Putin ain't playing. He may seem like he's a smooth dude, but he's so smooth, he's tricking. He's tricking the nations, and he's trying to trick Israel, but God got something for Russia. I ain't talking about the people that saved in Russia. I'm talking about the government. The government think they can rule. China think they can rule. America, hey man, they know where they at now because America ought to be ashamed of themselves. They have been saying because we are more acquainted with the God of Israel than any other nation on the planet. And look how we're living. Look how we're going to church. Look how we're serving. Look how we are telling people about Jesus Christ. Look how we are treating each other. Look at our government. Look at our grocery stores. Look at our farmers. Look at the world itself. Look at our big time movie stars. Man, they're living like a dog. Some of them are living like a dog, ain't caring nothing about God. We don't have prayer in our schools no more. We don't have prayer in our homes no more. We don't have prayer on a street corner no more. We don't have prayer nowhere until Corona came. And then somebody might pray a little bit, but they ain't prayed enough. They need to repent. The reason why they need to repent, because the Bible tells me in Bible prophecy, if America don't turn from the wicked ways, she's going to have to answer to the Almighty God. And the world is saying today, if America goes down, who is going to take America's place? Well, nobody can take America's place but God himself. Why? Because God said, I'm the Lord God, and I don't need nobody. I can rain fire out of heaven. I can cause floods and tornadoes. I can shake the earth like jello. I can do anything I please. And that's what God is doing in America right now, around the world. He's shaking the world up. Amen. He's shaking it like a bowl of jello. Yes, he's shaking the church up. Folks today don't know what to do. They don't know who to listen to. But I'll tell you one thing, you ought to get your Bible out and fall down on your knees and call on the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's a Bible prophecy. The Russians are coming. And let me tell you something. They know America is pretty powerful. So don't be surprised if America be bombed by a foreign country. Huh? Come on now. Don't be surprised if another bacteria come up on the scene. Don't be surprised if an earthquake happened in America and it kill a lot. Don't be surprised if tornadoes are still whirling around, tearing up people's property. God, I'm talking about the God of heaven, is not pleased with the world. He's not pleased with America. And I just want to say, Lord, I want to be pleased with you. I want to do what you called me to do. I want you to let me do what you have called me and told Brother Tim to preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Because when this year 2002 come up, Russia and the nations over there is spitting at America. And the reason why they're spitting at America, because if my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven. And God can't hear nothing. God can't hear America pray no more. Woo! Good God Almighty. America's not praying no more.
Amen.
Preachers are not praying no more. Deacons are not praying no more. Sisters of the church are not praying no more. You know why? Because number one, the Bible said in the last day there shall come a great falling away. That's what the Bible said. A falling away from what? Falling away from the salvation of Jesus Christ. They're falling away. Folks are not trusting in the cross of Christ. They have put Jesus in the grave. And they don't even believe that he got up on the third day morning. But I'm here to tell you tonight. I'm here to tell you tomorrow. I'm here to tell you through eternity. He arose from the dead. And he's got all power in heaven and in earth in his hand. Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. And I know the brother Tim. I'm going to give it over to him. I know the brother Tim got some prophecy that's coming from the word of God and nothing but the word of God. Brother Tim, go ahead and work with it a little bit.
Amen, doctor. Amen. Good word. Amen. It was awesome. Amen. Blessings to the Most High. Amen. Brother, God bless your spirit for that awesome word. Amen. And interpretation and breaking down, amen, what God is, amen, as we say, foretelling. Amen. God, we gave the first prophecy of the Bible. I like that. Amen. And he told us, as I've told people before in the past, amen, God ain't scared of faith. Satan is not a nemesis to God, amen. Is he an enemy of God?
Now.
Yes, he is.
Amen.
He told Satan to his face. Amen. He told him to his face what's going to happen to him. Amen. So it don't matter how you prepare, he's coming. Amen. Amen. So he was trying to stop, amen, the Adamic, the man, the first man, that bloodline. He tried to taint the bloodline, amen, but he couldn't do it.
Couldn't do it.
Amen. Amen. So he couldn't do it. Amen. And so we're dealing with, amen, the spoken word of the Lord. And so we talk about the foretelling and the foretelling of the Bible prophecy. Amen. So let's take a look at some things. Amen. So what are some of the things, amen, when God prophesies to someone about something, whether it was foretelling or foretelling? So the content was warnings, exhortations, blessings, and promises. Amen.
Come on.
So we see that today. We can compare that to today's time, the time that we live in. What did they say? What did the prophecy say? Amen. So Christ sent a message to John. To what? To the seven churches as a what?
Woo!
A warning. Amen.
Yeah.
Exhortation. Blessing. Amen. So what were the warnings? He said, behold, I come what? Quickly.
Quickly.
In other words, what Christ was saying to John to say, to tell us was, don't get so wrapped up in this world. Amen. We were talking about it this past Wednesday night. Amen.
Yes, sir.
How Satan has so many distractions. They said the world governments use billions of dollars every year to distract
every
you.
Year.
Amen. How do they distract us?
Amen, brother.
With games, money, amen.
Money.
Entertainment is the number one. Is yes, sir. It is the number one distraction that Satan uses on man. We love
man.
We love to watch movies. We love to watch TV shows. We love to play games. We love to gather together and be merry and eat dinner. Amen. We do these things. Amen. We are so into being entertained. Amen.
Entertained.
So Christ told John to tell the church to watch. So the pastors were supposed to have been telling the churches in this congregation all these years, it's okay to preach throughout the Bible, but make sure you are warning your congregations that Christ is going to return soon. Amen.
Yeah.
We should have our heart and our mindset on the return, not to be so caught up into the things of this world, worldly possessions. The Bible says over in 1 John, amen, it says, love not the world. If any man love the world, then the love of the Father is not in him. So as I told you before, do I enjoy life just as much as the next man? I enjoy this life. There's a lot of good and great things that life has to offer. Amen. But I'm not so wrapped up in this life that, amen, that I just want to stay here forever. Amen. I do not want to stay here forever. Amen. I'm looking for the return of our Lord and Savior to return. Amen. Excuse me. To get to church. Amen. We want him to come back. Amen. And get the church.
Get
to
the
return
church.
So that we can live for all eternity with God in heaven, the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, his holy angels. Amen. You know what, brother, I thought about today? We're going to get to see the saints of all time. If the
all
saints,
time.
Amen. If they died back in 1920 before we was born, we're going to get to see those saints. And those saints
all
that came through slavery, amen, we're going to get to see those saints. We're going to get to see the saints that lived over 1,000 years ago, the saints that lived 2,000 years ago when during the time of Christ. Amen.
Yeah.
We're going to get to see the Old Testament saints. Amen.
Testament.
Remember David? Amen.
Yeah.
Remember Solomon? Amen.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot of the prophets, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Amos. Amen. We're going to get to see all those prophets. We're going to get to see the people who believe. Enoch, Moses.
Come on. Come on.
The children of Israel that came out of Egypt, those that believed and became saved. We're going to get to see all the people, there were some people who believed during the time, of Enoch. Amen, but not very many. Amen. In that time, it was tough times during the time. Of Enoch. Amen. And Noah, it was real tough. Then Noah, because the Bible says only eight persons were saved through the flood. Amen. All people of the world, as it narrowed down to the time of Noah, only eight people made it out. That was Noah and his family. Now, we're not saying that everybody in his family believed God. We know that one of his children, his son, his grandson, kind of strayed. Amen. We know that his son was the founder. Him and his son was the founder of Babylon.
Babylon.
Amen. But the point I'm making is that we're gonna get to see all the saints. If they died in 1940, 1950, 1919, man, no matter when they died, we're gonna see these saints. That we're gonna get to see our parents, our grandparents, if they believed in our family, love, our uncles, our aunts, our cousins, all those that came in our current family. This is why you want to tell your family about this show, tell them about God. Even if you don't want to share, you tell them yourself. Teach them about the plan of salvation, because why? When it's all said and done, after this life is over with, amen, eternity is going to start. So we have to decide Amen. Where do we want to spend all eternity? This is a reality, not just
yes,
out here enjoying life and partying and shaking and dancing and living for Satan. Amen. Doctor, this life is going to end at some point. Amen. And it's sad to see people who are very mature in age still going out partying and having fun. I don't see how they do it. Amen. I got saved over 20-something years ago in my 20s, and I just don't see how people reach the age of 60, 70, 80, and even 90 years old. Amen. I told you, brother, some time ago, amen, on my wife's side of the family, she had a family member. She was kind of like a great aunt, and she was in her 90s, still partying. I was just looking at that one, because I remember her back when I was when I first met my wife almost about 30 years ago, and how they used to talk about this woman, how she used to be like one of the elders of the family. She was just still partying and drinking. And I was looking at this woman like, man, this woman got to be like 60 or 70 years old. And, man, this woman was partying and doing all that stuff back then. And all the way now, I think she just died like within the last 5 years, I think. She had reached into her 90s. And they said that woman had partied up, and I said, Lord have mercy.
Lord, Lord, Lord.
Mm-mm-mm. All I can say is I hope that she got saved before it was too late. Because, man,
amen.
That's all you talk about, how she used to drink and dance and party. I said, God, and bless you to live all these years. And I just can only pray and hope that that woman got it right before it was too late. Because,
you know,
man, that's a sad thing to live 90-some years and not give God no praise, no glory, not worship God. Ooh, Lord, have mercy.
Lord Jesus.
Man. Amen, amen. But I just want to share that. But amen. But back to what I was saying about prophecy. Amen. What else did prophecy say? Prophecy also gave us the prophesied time, whether it was past, present, future, or eschatological future, which is what we teach. Eschatology is the study of what? End times, end time things. We know that Daniel was good, amen, about teaching eschatology. He talked about things. He revealed one of the most important things of the end time. And he gave us one of the biggest hints of how do we know that we are in the end time? How do we know that we are in the last days? Amen. What did Daniel say? What did Daniel say? He said, let me go. Let me read you the scripture. Let's go over that.
Go ahead, brother.
I'd like to give you the scripture.
Go ahead.
Daniel. I believe it was the last chapter, chapter 12.
12.
Amen. There it is. I believe it was verse 4. Let's read what Daniel 12 and 4 said. Amen.
Amen, brother. Tell it.
Hey, there it is. It says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. And knowledge shall be increased. Man, that is one of the now all prophecy is great. Don't get me wrong, but according to the end time, the time of the end, eschatology, this is one of the great prophecies that was given to Daniel to give to us in our time to tell us how do we know that we are getting close to the return of our Lord and Savior. This scripture here, twofold. Because why? At no other time in history has man had access to so much information, so much knowledge. Knowledge has increased. Knowledge travels faster. Man, I remember when we went back in the day, my mom and dad used to buy some encyclopedias. Man, it'd take you some like forever to read through those books and look through those books. Hey, man.
Come on.
But now, you can just Google a search. Google a subject. Man, you can pop right up. You can find so much stuff on the internet so fast. Amen. Knowledge has increased. So many people can research the Bible. You don't have to go to seminary school. You don't have to spend as many hours of studying and researching the Bible like me and the pastor, elder, has done. Why?
Come on.
You got the internet. Man, you can go and Google Revelation, and you have to do some research and make sure you curl up and get you some books and do some studying and reading. Amen. But it's been expedited so fast now that it breaks down. It tells you what it is. If you want to know what Daniel
on.
Said, amen.
Come on.
If you want to know about the beast and all the signs and the wonders that Daniel saw, the things that he dreamed and probably things was given to him in visions, it's right there at your fingertips. And
yes,
then,
sir.
Bro, they
yes,
have the nerve
sir.
To put pictures with it. So
come on.
So they give you a little entertainment. Amen. Whereas
yeah.
back in the day, amen, we have to dig through those scriptures, read books, study, continue to read
come
and stuff. I know we both continue to still read and study. We do it the old school way because that's what we used to. And there's nothing
yeah.
wrong with using the internet. It's a good thing because why? The closer we get to the end, the faster things must travel. Faster news
Woo!
Must travel. Why? Because we are getting close to the end, and God will say, you know what? Amen. We're going to use this too. Amen. God
yeah.
said, Satan made mean it for bad, but God made it for good. So, amen. So,
yeah,
you have access. If you want to read about prophecy, anything that's apocalyptic, amen, any type of
amen.
Prophecy prediction, you can. You can get a hold of that information just like the next man. Amen. So remember,
yes,
what did prophecy say? Content is warnings, exhortations,
right.
blessings, and promises. Christ
Come
has
on.
Promised throughout Revelation. He said, man, let's go to Revelation and see what some of the promises that God promised us as the children of God. What did he promise
yeah.
us? Man, I love God. He goes, you know what God said? If you do this, I'll do that. That's what I like about God. He's good on his word. Like
yeah,
the brother said, he's good on his words. Watch this. Amen. Watch this. Amen. Let me see if I can find it real quick. Amen. See what thus said the Lord. Amen. What he said. Amen. If you do some of these things, am I going to bless you?
Amen.
Amen.
There
we go. Revelation, the third chapter, verse 21 is one of them. It says, to
Go
him
ahead.
That overcometh will I
Come
grant
on.
To sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Amen.
Yes.
That's part of what? Bible prophecy. Amen.
Yes,
He's
sir.
Telling you the promises that I'm going to give you, that I have for you, if you be obedient. Amen. I got
Come
a
on.
Reward for you. Amen. Amen. Watch
Amen.
This. Amen. Watch this. This is Revelation 3 and 3. It says, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and I will come upon thee. Amen. There you have it.
Yeah.
That's a warning. Amen. To pay attention. Amen, because there are a lot of people, amen, that's not paying attention. Amen, that's what we're here to do is to warn you. Amen. Watch this. I got a little bit more. Amen, brother, if I can
Go
share
ahead.
This.
Go ahead.
Revelation 1 and 3. John said, blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Exhortations
yeah.
and blessings. Amen. If you keep, amen, if you read this word and you keep the words of this prophecy and keep the things which are written therein, what does God say? What did he tell John to tell the church? Man, you're going to be blessed. Amen. Again,
amen.
Revelation 22 and 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. It is a blessing to be a child of God, amen, because this is
amen.
A theological future, which we believe is to soon happen, amen. Now,
Woo.
We can say that there's some historical future that has basically almost passed. The 2,000-year church age, amen, is just about done. That is historical future. And what is the prophesied time? At the time
Come
that John, the apostle, wrote the book of Revelation when he was on the Isle of Patmos. That was the prophesied time. But the historical future was to who? The seven churches, the church age,
church
which was supposed to be, amen, doctor, was supposed to
yeah.
be the next 2,000 years. And now we are looking at what? The tribulation, which is eschatological future. Amen, brother. Amen. If I got a little time, amen. If not, I can come back. Amen. I'm just going to squeeze in this last one. Amen.
All right, doctor.
Amen. Medium. What is that? Regular message, pronouncements, foretelling. Amen. You have prophecy, predictions, foretelling, and prophecy, apocalyptics, foretelling. Foretelling. Amen. So, again, remember
amen.
Foretelling. Amen. What it is. And future. Foretelling is mainly the future, talking about things that are soon to come. Amen.
Yes.
Whether it be the near future or the far future. Amen. That's what
amen.
Foretelling is. Amen. We told you what foretelling is. It's to declare a thing which can only be known by divine revelation. Amen.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to turn it back over
all
to
right.
you, then I'll finish up the next few examples of what is prophecy,
right.
Bible prophecy, Bob prophets. Go ahead, brother.
All right. All right. Good God Almighty. This is awesome. The Bible prophecy is what
amen.
Church need to hear. The church is not hearing Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy is for our good, for our warning, to get us alert and let you know how close it is.
That's right.
Boy. I got some Bible prophecy on hell. Did you know what I'm saying? I got some Bible prophecy on hell. Listen, go to the book of Deuteronomy, brother. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, 32nd chapter.
Okay, you want
to read it? Yeah, read it for me. 32nd chapter, the 21st and the 22nd verse. Let's read that.
Give me one moment.
All right. God prophesied hell in the Old Testament. He prophesied that there is a hell so you could be warned. Jesus prophesied to us about hell. So let's see what Deuteronomy, let's see what Moses wrote, which was a prophet. The 32nd chapter, the 21st, the 22nd verse.
32nd.
Amen, amen. I want to get this from scripture. I could just say it and let it go, but I want to read the scripture so you will know exactly where I'm coming from.
Amen. 32nd chapter, what verse again?
21st and 22nd verse.
21st and 22nd?
Yeah, read that nice and loud for me.
Amen. It says, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them, foolish nation.
Now, all
for
right.
fire is kindled in mine anger and shall burn unto the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase. And set on fire the foundations of the mountains.
Is that enough for you? That's prophesying that they're in the earth, inside the earth, there's a place called hell. There's a place called Gehenna. There's a place called Sheol. There's a place called Tartarus. In the heart of the earth, 2,000 years ago, back in the time of Moses, God inspired Moses to write to let you know that there is a place of damnation. There is a place that God is going to be punish people for their vanities and for their his anger that they have caused him to rise up. He said, I prepared a place in the bowels of the earth. So when a person dies, they go to hell in the bowels of the earth. Jesus Christ prophesied. He said, flee from the wrath to come. He said, those that are reject my salvation, reject my love, reject my sacrifice, guess what? If you don't receive me, you're going to end up in hell. That's prophecy. That's telling you exactly what's going to happen to you after you die. And if you die without Jesus Christ, and that's why I sent him, because I prophesied about him coming. dying, rose again, coming back to get a church without a spot or wrinkle. I prophesied of the things that would happen before I come. I prophesied of the moon turning to blood and earthquakes. I prophesied of wars and wars and rumors of wars. I talked about division of the home and division of the family. I talked about the homosexuality. I talked about the lesbianism. I talked about all that, and I'm warning you. There is a place in which God himself had prepared for the devil and his angels. And God already done told Satan, that's where you're going. That's where you're going when I judge you. When I judge you, I'm going to cast you into the lake of fire. And all those that followed you, good God Almighty. Do you know what I'm saying? All those that follow Satan. All those that reject Jesus Christ, that's what I'm trying to pinpoint on. If you reject Jesus Christ, the devil's going to be your father in hell. You're going to burn forever for your sins and for your unbelief and for your lying and cheating and backbiting. So you best repent. Otherwise, your future will be hell. But that's bad. Woo! Why don't people listen? They ain't listen to the word of God. They listen to man and not the word of God. And when you listen to the word of God, it will penetrate you. It will either drive you or draw you. And people seem like they've been driven away because they know that they are sinners and don't want to admit that they're sinners, don't want to admit that Jesus Christ died and rose again. Don't say that I need that sacrifice. I need that blood. I need repentance. They don't want to say that. And so guess what? Their future holds nothing but fire and agony and pain. Future, God warns. Anytime God is going to bring judgment, he warns before judgment comes. And the world has been warned. All over the world has been warned that Christ is coming back again. Here's another great prophecy. A great prophecy.
Amen.
Here's another one for you. Good God Almighty. This is the one. I love them all. I love them all because God don't leave nothing now. He said, before I come back, he said, he took a go down there in the valley of the dry bones. I got something down there that's brittle and all broken up, and I want you to go down there and prophesy to the dry bones. And he said, oh, okay. Lord, you want me to go? I'll go. So he took a went down in the valley of the dry bones, and he saw all these bones.
Amen.
Scattered all over the face of the earth.
Yes.
And they were dry.
Yes, God.
They didn't have no form. They didn't have nothing on them. And the wind was blowing and the dust from the bones would be blowing and they would rattle. Yeah, they were making a noise and everything. And God said, now, Ezekiel, can I ask you a question? He said, can these bones live? And
amen.
He said, Lord, ain't got something? He said, you know, Lord, I don't know because I'm just a man. I don't know,
amen.
But you know. And that's one thing I like about God. God knows everything. And if I want to know something, I know God got the answer. Hey, man, he got the answer for everything. And the man today don't want the answer from God. They want it from a false prophet. They want it from some quack. They want it from some liar. They want it from to satisfy their own taste. And Ezekiel looked at the dry bones, and he saw dry bones in the north. He saw dry bones in the south. He saw dry bones in the east. And he saw dry bones in the west. And Ezekiel said, wait a minute. All these dry bones, who are they? What are they? And God, make a long story short, and God said, this is Israel. This is what Israel looked like. Because after 606 B.C., Israel went into captivity. And when they went into captivity, Israel became dry. They became unspiritual. They became rebellious. They became everything that God did not intend them to be. They didn't have no worship. They didn't have no temple. They didn't have nothing. And Ezekiel, after they had come back from Babylon, they went back to Israel. And they was dry from 440 B.C. all the way over to 1948. Good God Almighty. Do you know what I'm saying? 2,600 years His will was not known to the nation. 2,600 years. They didn't have no temple. They didn't have no priests. They didn't have no sacrifices of animals. They didn't have church service. They didn't have nothing because they were dry. They had turned from the living God. And God looked down on the dry bones, and he said, Ezekiel, can the dry bones live? He said, Lord, thou knowest. Go ahead and prophesy to the dry bones. And Ezekiel said, oh, ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. And when Ezekiel began to preach that sermon, say, hear ye, O Israel, ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. And the Bible says pretty soon the bones begin to rattle. And when they begin to rattle, they begin to jump and roll. After they begin to jump and roll, they begin to come together. In other words, they were getting united together. They tell me all the bones found. Bone that belong in the bone of the human body. And in the human body, there's 206 bones. And you see the whole house of Israel is scattered from the four corners of the earth. They went to Russia. They went to China. They went to Africa. They were scattered all over the face of the earth. And then when Ezekiel said, oh, ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. And the bones begin to rattle. They begin to shake. They begin to roll. And when they begin to roll, they begin to join together. And they tell me the foot bone was in the north, and the ankle bone was in the south, and the head bone was in the east. And they tell me each bone, good God Almighty, each bone begin to join together. And when they begin to join together, before they were joined together, they tell me that Israel was scattered all over Eastern and Western Europe. And they tell me at the time in World War One and World War Two, the Jews were scattered. And in the time of Hitler began to burn them and boil them and cook them and scatter them from the face of the earth. And then they tell me after they tell me something happened. They tell me the bones begin to come together. And they tell me, oh, ye dry bones, hear ye the word of the Lord. What happened? They tell me the ankle bone was looking for the foot bone looking for the toe bone looking for the head bone. We're looking around the ankle bone, looking for the leg bone looking for the knee bone. And they tell me all these bones begin to join together. And this joining represents the whole house of Israel. And you say, well, preacher, when did they start joining together? After World War II, they tell me in 1945, the Jews were set free. And when they were set free, they still were scattered. But they tell me after 1945 and 46 and 47 and 48, they tell me in 1948, Israel began to come back to the land of Israel. And when they came back to the land of Israel, they tell me they became a nation for the first time over the period of 2,600 years. This is Bible prophecy now. And they tell me after they joined together, they tell me they stood up on their feet. And they tell me after a while, what did this represent? Well, in 1948, good God Almighty, Israel became a nation for the first time over the period of 2,600 years. And without God being the director and being the bone specialist, Israel would never have came back. But God has already told us in his scriptures. He said, before Jesus Christ comes back to this earth, y'all don't hear me, listen to what I'm saying. He said, before I come back, I'm going to bring my people back into the land of Israel. Because when they come back, that's a sign that the return of Jesus Christ is soon to occur. And it's been 70 years since Israel has been in the Jews has been in Israel, and they are back in the land. They got the land all replenished. They're growing in the land. The Jews from the four corners of the earth is coming back to Israel. Come on, y'all, listen to what I'm saying. Read your newspaper. Look in your encyclopedia. Go to the library and see how the Jews don't restore the land. And by them restore the land, they say they're coming back to do what? They're coming back to meet the Messiah. Oh, let me tell you something. They're coming back to meet the true Messiah. But let me tell you something. Before the true Messiah comes back, the false Messiah has to come. And the Jews believe that the Messiah that's coming now, that's already on the earth, this Antichrist, this man of, call himself man of peace, is alive today, and he's getting ready to what? Come back and what? Woo! Let me tell you something. You now are planning to build a temple. This temple is in the making. Oh, come on, y'all. Good God Almighty. What church you have to hear something like this? What preacher can you talk to that can give you some information? And I got my information not from the newspaper, but I got it from the gospel paper. I got it from God's word.
Amen.
And Jesus Christ said, my people are going to come back to the land. And when they come back to the land, they're going to get ready to rebuild a temple. Not for me. They're going to build it for the Antichrist, because this is the way the Antichrist is going to be accepted by the Jewish nation, because the Antichrist is going to make a entering, and he's going to talk some smooth talk, and he's going to tell the Jewish people that I am your Messiah, and I'm going to give you permission to rebuild the temple, because the temple that you're building, you're not building it for the true Christ. You're building it for yourself. You're building to stay in Judaism, and Judaism is done with. Judaism is done, because Judaism could not save nobody. Judaism could not redeem nobody. Judaism could not give you joy. Judaism could not give you peace, but that's why Jesus Christ came. He said, I come to give you peace. And when Jesus Christ comes, said, I come away to do with the first sacrificial offering. I'm going to get rid of the lambs and the turtle doves. I'm going to get rid of the bullocks, and I'm going to go down. Good God Almighty. I'm going to go down to Calvary's cross, and I'm going to offer up myself. I'm going to give my soul. I'm going to give my blood. I'm going to give you my time. I'm going to hang on the cross for 6 long hours. I'm going to bow my head and die. I'm going to go down in the pits of hell and set the captives free. And on the third day morning, I'm going to get up with all power in heaven and earth and in my hand. And I want the Jewish people to be in the land. And they was in the land, but they were not together. But when I come the first, when I come the second time, they're going to be in the land, and the Antichrist is going to what? He's going to tell the Jewish people that they're the Messiah. And right now, what the Jews are doing, the Jews are consistent in rebuilding the temple now. Not a few, maybe a year from now, or maybe less than a year, but they are planning to build a temple for who?
Amen.
They're building a temple to offer sacrifices. But it's going to be given over to the Antichrist. They're building the temple to bring the Ark of the Covenant inside the Holies of Holies. The same way they did in Mount Sinai. They didn't live. They didn't have a temple. They lived in tents. They had the sacrifice offered in tents. And they moved from tents to the temple, to Solomon's temple. Solomon built the first temple. Good God Almighty. Then it was ripped apart. It was tore down. It was burned to the ground. And then Zerubbabel and Joshua rebuilt another temple. That was during the time of Herod. And that temple was ripped apart and torn down. And in 70 AD, they burned it down again. And there hasn't been a temple in Jerusalem since the time of Jesus. And now the Jews are back into the land, and they're trying to build this temple, and they are going to build it, and they're going to build it what? Uniquely. They're going to build it out of a precious stone, and they're going to set it on the Dome of the Rock. And now the Jews are praying that they can have the Dome of the Rock to rebuild the temple. Good God Almighty, it's right up on us. It's right up on us. And you know why they're doing it? Because the Antichrist is full grown. I'm telling you some information the TV and some of the prophets are not talking about. They're getting ready to get the priesthood ready. They got the priesthood ready. They got the holy vessels ready. They got the menorah ready. They getting ready for the two, good God Almighty, the two red heifers that they're planning to get to burn and sacrifice for to sanctify the temple. They're getting all the stuff together. So when they get ready to build the temple, they can set it right inside the temple. The Antichrist is waiting to sign the peace covenant.
And amen.
The peace covenant will have something to do with the temple, because the Antichrist is going to give them permission to rebuild the temple and make a covenant with them for 7 years. The 7 years almost here, church. Oh, my God, the 7 years are almost
here. Tell them, doctor.
The church is dead. The preachers are dead. They're not telling nobody. God is not through with the Jewish people. Come on, preacher. The Jewish people are his chosen people to be an example to the nations of the world that there's only one true living God, who is Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. He's getting ready to send his son back to the earth. But before he comes back, the Antichrist coming. The man of sin is coming. The son of perdition is coming. And now the coronavirus got people in an uproar. They're worried about the coronavirus, and they're not worried about their soul. They're not worried about how close they are for the return of Jesus Christ. And when Jesus Christ comes back, he cannot come back until the end. Listen to me. Can't come back until the end of the tribulation. The second coming of Jesus Christ is not the rapture. The rapture is the first phase of the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Amen. And come on, doctor.
Jesus Christ is not coming back to set in this temple, but after the seven-year tribulation, God is going to restore the temple.
Amen.
God Almighty, good God Almighty, hallelujah, God's going to build his own temple. And I know.
That's right.
Some preachers say, I thought you were supposed to be the temple. I am the temple of God. God lives in this temple. My body is that temple. But this temple that the Jews are building is another temple that they want God to abode in. God is not about abiding in a homemade backyard temple. He wants to abide in your temple now. And a lot of people say, well, I got a heart, but let me tell you, but how you treating your temple? How are you handling yourself? Do you have the image of Christ in you? Amen. Do you have the love of Christ in you? If you don't have the love of Christ in you and you have not been sanctified, Christ is not in that temple. Ooh, only way he can be in that temple is you repent of your sins and turn from your wicked ways and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ that thou shalt be saved. Until that, God is not living in your temple. He wants to abode there. He wants to manifest self in you that the world can see that the true God is real. This Antichrist will do what? He will literally sign a peace treaty in Jerusalem. And this peace treaty has a lot to do with what President Trump did 2 years ago. He mandated that Jerusalem would become the capital of Israel. He said, I'm going to mandate it that they bring the embassy back in Jerusalem. Why? Because Jerusalem is where Jesus Christ is going to rule from. And if it's not the capital, he can't come back. But said, woo, bring Jerusalem back to being the capital of Israel until this day. Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, and Jews are looking for the rebuild that third temple. You remember that? 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. 1, 2, 3. God Father, God Son, God the Holy Ghost. 3 days, 3 nights, stay in all. So three has a lot to do with, amen. You understand what I'm saying? With the third temple. And this temple will begin to be built on after the Antichrist signs the treaty. He has signed that. He signed that treaty. And let me tell you something. Look out for 2022. Look out now. Look out, because I'm going to tell you something. 2022 is a temple year, because the Jews got it together. They might come, they're coming together in unbelief, but that unbelief is going to be turned into belief. And they're going to find out that this false Christ is going to be rejected by the Jewish people. But first, they're going to receive him. But after they find out what he is and who he is in the middle of the tribulation, they're going to find out that they are believing in the wrong Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said, Jesus told the Jews, he said, if I come in my Father's name, y'all won't believe me. But if another man come in his own name, y'all going to believe.
That's right.
His Antichrist is coming in his own name. And his name is King Philippe the Sixth. His name is mentioned in Madrid, Spain. He is the king of Spain. Spain is a Jewish community. Spain is one of the nations that persecuted the Jews almost bad as Hitler. Spain is the brothers of Jacob. Spain comes from Esau. Esau and Israel were brothers. They came out the same womb. And Jacob had a hold of Esau. And Esau was the one birthright. And the birthright was given to Jacob. And by Jacob taking the birthright, he became a descendant of Jesus Christ, in which Jesus Christ came down through the tribe of Judah. So all that's mingled up there in the Middle East and Western and Eastern Europe has to do with royalty from the Jewish background. Woo! So the Antichrist will be Gentile and Jew. When he comes back, he going to come back as a smooth talk. You talking about smooth talking? Good God Almighty. When he come back, he's coming back as what? A prince. He's coming back as a king. He's coming back as a man of sin and a son of perdition. When he come back, he can tell the world, and the world is going to fall in love with this Antichrist because the devil loves his own. And the people today, the world today, love the world. And the world is of the devil. All the participating that you do, all the killing, all the murdering, all the gambling, all the drinking, all the whoremongering, all that's worldly, that's demonic, that's demon. Don't let nobody fool you. You better read your Bible. I'm a man of student. I read my Bible. I study my Bible. I look to God and say, Lord, you give me the word. Ooh, there's something that's not in the Bible. Amen. I say, Lord, give me something that I don't know that's in the Bible. And let me tell you, guess what? This Antichrist, when he comes, the world will say, this is what we've been waiting for 2,000 years. This is the kind of man we want. He's handsome. He's tall. He's debonair. He's a great speaker. And guess what? He belongs to the secret orders. He belongs to Illuminati. He's a man worshiper. Oh, come on. Study your words. Study. Sometimes you got to go to your commentaries. Sometimes you got to go to the library.
This man
right now is 54 years old. He was raised by his father, King Juan Carlos. King Juan Carlos was raised by Generalissimo Franco. Franco, Generalissimo, was a ruler of Spain from 1931 to 1975, and he gave the throne to Juan Carlos, and Juan Carlos was married in 1962. He had two daughters and a son, and his son that was born was called Felipe, and Felipe now is 54 years old. Ready! He's ready as ready. He's ready to go. And the only thing that's holding him back right now, and a lot of people say, well, I don't want to go to church. I don't feel like going to church. But let me tell you, one of these days, you're going to want to go, and the church will be gone. And
that's
soon,
right.
And very soon. And don't be looking for me, because I ain't going to be here. Woo!
Amen.
I'm going to be in heaven looking, amen, and shouting and sitting by the arms of Jesus Christ. I'm going to kiss his feet. I'm going to hug him. And I'm going to let him go. Why? Because he's been good to me. He's been good to brother. He's been good to the world. He's been good to everybody on this planet. And the world is rejecting him. So this Illuminati is going to be an instrument of Satan. And by him being an instrument, this is Bible prophecy now. This is Bible prophecy. I ain't making this up. I can't remember all this. Amen. Hey, the Spirit got to reveal to me. I can't remember all this, what I'm saying. Amen. But this Antichrist. Antichrist, it belongs to every secret order in the world, and there are at least 13 or 14 secret orders. The masonry is secret order. He knows about the masonry. He knows about Illuminati. He knows about the black magic and the black occult. He knows about UFOs and Satan worshipers. He knows about Moloch. He knows about false gods and entities. He knows all about that because he's an instrument. He's the instrument for Satan because Satan in the middle of the tribulation period. Y'all listen to me now. I can't say enough. In the middle of the tribulation, this Antichrist, this man of sin will be assassinated, trying to play a joke on the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Trying to play a joke on 3 days and 3 nights, he's going to be dead, laying in the morgue. And there's going to be actually war in heaven where the demons and devils and demigods and wicked spirits will be cast to the earth. And the devil with his big feet will trample over this earth. He will incarnate himself in the middle of the tribulation and the Antichrist. And the Antichrist will come back from the dead. Oh, y'all don't listen to what I'm saying. You ain't going to hear this just anywhere. Because most people are dead to knowing what Bible prophecy says. This man is going to be raised from the dead. He's going to be raised from the dead. You hear what I'm saying? He's going to come back from the morgue and stand up on his feet. And when he stand up on his feet, he's going to claim that he is God Almighty. And the world, oh, y'all don't hear me. Listen what it says. And the whole world will wonder after the beast. He's an Antichrist. He becomes the beast. And a beast is an animal. And there's no animal on this planet that you just want to mess with anyone. You don't want to mess with no lion. You don't want to mess with no gorilla. You don't want to mess with no tiger. You don't want to mess with no leopard. And you don't want to mess with no bear because it's a beast. And guess what? Man has become worse than a beast. The devil has driven man to become worse than a beast because he is killing folks today. The devil is slaying anybody that gets in his way. Little babies. He's taking young girls and prostituting them and killing them. He's taking young children and offering them up to sacrifice to animals. This is done in the government, y'all.
That's right.
Some of these Jackson folks are doing it. They're going devil. They're selling their soul to the devil and call it the works of God. And it's a lie. It's a big, white, black lie.
This Antichrist
will come back from the dead. When he comes back from the dead, let me tell you, all hell is going to break loose for the last 3.5 years. And the last 3.5 years, you ain't going to trust your mama, your daddy, your sister, your uncle, your aunt. Your own foe will become your own household. Your own enemy will become your own brothers and sisters. Why? Because the mark of the beast is going to separate a lot of people. Some are going to receive it and some are going to reject it. And the ones that reject it, the ones that receive it, is going to report the one that didn't receive it. So they're going to turn on you. Your own family is going to turn. It's going to get so bad in the next 2020 that folks are going to have to be moving in with their relatives. It's going to get so bad folks are going to lose it. It's going to get so bad that the grocery store ain't going to have enough groceries in the store. It's going to get so bad that folks are going to be breaking and entering and stealing stuff out of stores. Why? It's late in the evening. It's time for the church to wake up and tell the world to wake up. It's time for preachers to put down that degree and put down that social get-togethers and food and eating and anniversary. It's time for the preachers that's been called to preach. They need to stop and go on a fast and quit begging folks for money. Because let me tell you, every soul going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Everybody going to before God. Don't you think you going to get away? You ain't going to get away. Sinner man, you ain't going to get away. Backslider, come on back. The Lord still loves. Hypocrite, quit hipping folks. and come on and repent and confess that you just a lying wonder, because you know you don't know no Jesus Christ. You cussing, lying, cheating, backbiting, whoremonger, adultery, all that stuff. You still doing it, talking about the Lord love you. Yeah, he loves you, but he don't love that mess you putting down.
Amen.
I'm not trying to kick myself. If I'm guilty, I'm going to fall on my knees. Lord, if I done something, fall on my knees. Why? Because when he comes, he's coming as a thief in the night. And I'm going to close with this. I'm going to let the brother have the last 10 minutes. But I just got carried away today because this is the first Sunday in the year, and I want to keep on doing. I want my brothers to keep on doing and preach the gospel, because let me tell you something. It's coming. It's coming. The Bible prophecy is going to be fulfilled as sure as you're born. But remember this. After the rapture of the church occurred, God is not going to leave the earth bare. And that's why he wants Israel to be back in the land. Because when they come back in the land, he's got to use 144,000 Jews. That's why the Jews are in the land, because God got a mission for them. And that mission is to make the last call in the first part of the 3.5 years that Jesus Christ is coming back. That's Bible prophecy. 144,000 is Bible prophecy. It's yet future. And then God said, after I get through with the 144,000 and redeem a great host in the tribulation saints, I'm going to send two major firebrand prophets, two major dynamite preachers. Now, if you want to hear some preaching, amen. I don't want you to be here, but if you do be here, Moses and Elijah is going to come back to the planet, and they're going to have a 3.5 year service. Oh, good God Almighty. They're going to preach from the streets of Jerusalem for 3.5 years consistently, 24/7, 360 days and a half, amen, and preach the gospel to the world. And the world will hear it over what? Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and all those networks, NBC, ABC. Oh, and you want to go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, all them C's. They're going to hear the gospel of Moses and Elijah. And these men are going to have power to shut up heaven that it won't rain for 3.5 years. So in the last 3.5 years, there won't be no rain. In 3.5 years, Moses is going to bring plagues up on the earth. And 3.5 years, it's going to be finished at the end of the tribulation period. This is Bible prophecy. You can believe it or not. To my listeners out there, I love every one of y'all. I want to let you know, hey, amen, I got to preach like this. I got to preach like this because it's urgent. Your soul is in jeopardy. You need Jesus Christ in your life. And if you miss this rapture, you're going to have to face the terrible beast, the Antichrist. You're going to have to meet the devil face to face. And he ain't going to be playing. He ain't going to be playing no bingo. He ain't going to be no hanky-panky, no patty cake, bake that man. Ain't none of that mess. He's going to be named among you. The only thing you're going to have to do to escape it is repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God bless you at this time. My brother's going to come. I'm sorry, brother, I took most of the time. But anyway, amen. You close it with the offering at the altar. Somebody needs to know what Bible prophecy is all about and why Jesus Christ and the prophets prophesied and warned us the things that is to come. God bless you, brother.
Amen. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen.
Amen,
at this moment, amen. There's nothing left but salvation. Amen. Awesome word. Amen. We want you all to know, amen, about Bible prophecy. Amen. And how it works. Amen. So we think that we did the will of God by giving you this word, this message today. Amen. So how do we escape the things that are coming on this planet? Amen. How are we to miss the great tribulation? Amen. It's just real simple. Amen. The Bible says over in Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. All you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Amen. And the scripture says, amen, thou shalt be saved. It's just that plain and simple. Amen. We are praying that for each and every one of you. We want everyone to receive salvation. Again, we don't want no one to be lost. We don't want no one to experience the things that are going to come on this planet. People are partying. People are having fun. People are enjoying themselves. It's sad that the church is not even really paying attention. Amen. But, you know, we know the world's not paying attention, but the church is not even paying attention. And we just want more and more people. I would love and desire to hear more and more preachers teach about the return of our Lord and Savior soon. Amen. Because, again, that's what we're expecting, our Lord and Savior to come back and to return to this earth soon. And we have to be prepared. Amen. Amen. Because we talk about the Bema seat and how you're going to have to and give an account, amen, of things done in this body, amen, whether they be what, good or bad, the rewards that you're going to receive, amen, as a child of God, amen. So though we are fighting the good fight, amen, we are not running away, amen, we're not saying that.
No, sir.
Amen, so understand we said that we are ready to go home. We're ready to go home in a good way. We're not saying that we are. Because we know the word says that God has not given us what? The spirit of fear. So there's nothing for us to fear as the church. Do understand that the terror and the horror is not going to start until after the church is gone. Once the church is gone, and the Holy Spirit steps back, oh, man, it's gonna break loose on this planet.
Break loose.
It's gonna go wild. Amen. So you know it's for us to continue to teach the word, to love one another, preach the word. We want to save as many souls as we can today. Amen. So again, amen. Take a look at Romans the 10th chapter verse. Let's go there real quick. You know, I like to give you scripture. This is what we call the plan of salvation.
Praise God.
Amen. I'm going to go over the plan of salvation, and then I'm going to turn it right back over to the doctor to go ahead and shut it down and close it out for the night, the last few minutes. Right. Amen. We're going to see you all. Be the Lord's will. Amen. We'll see you all this upcoming Wednesday. Amen. Wednesday night. Amen. So let me go ahead and go there real quick.
Go ahead, doctor.
To Romans. Amen. The 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. This is what it says. Amen. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Just that simple. Amen. Just that fast. Faster than you can think. Faster than you can blink, you are saved by the Holy Spirit. You are sealed. As the scripture says, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Good night, brother. I enjoyed you. Amen. I'm going to let you finish closing it out. Great, awesome word. We will be back on the air this upcoming Wednesday. Amen. Take it away, brother.
Amen. We thank you, Brother Tim. Thank you for your love for the Lord, and thank you for your information. Thank you for supporting the ministry of end time preaching, and thank you for, amen, lifting up the name of Jesus and the cross, because that's the focal point of our salvation. There is no other name given among men where we can be saved in the name of Jesus Christ. It was Christ that did it all, and by him doing it all, we're able to prophesy and tell you what the word of God says is going to happen in the future. If the big thing's going to happen in the future, Christ is coming back to the planet. He's coming back because the time of the end is here. There's no way we can escape it. There's no way I can talk you out of it or talk God out of it, because he said it's already written. And whatever is written, let it be written. Please, amen, accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. You can be this sweetest person in the world, but you still need Jesus Christ. You need him, because we are all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. Then my mother conceived me. The thing to do is repent and say, Lord, I'm sorry for sinning against the holy God. Come into my life right now. Come on in. And guess what? He'll come in. And when he come in, there's a change. There's a change in your life.
you become a new creature. You become to be acquainted with the love of God, and you have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. You're saved forever. Amen. Nothing can unsave you. You're saved forever through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus, we thank you for the word. We thank you for this opportunity. We ask you to bless those that hear this word, that it may be attained to their heart, soul, and mind,